Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Before we get started, I want to make an announcement. There was some pretty profound news that came over my desk yesterday, and I posted it on my blog, and it's kind of blowing up like a volcano. But come to find out, when the federal government made the sale of all the properties out at Perdido Key back in 1957, they accessed it through the GSA at that time. There was a provision, apparently, put into every single deed. And I've got 64 of them linked to my blog this morning. There was a provision put in every single deed that indicated the 75 feet from the water northward was to be held in perpetuity as an easement for public beach access. I'm going to repeat that. Public beach access for use by the public.
Yeah, Commissioner Ragosh is exactly right. If you go read through these deeds, there's a section in each one that says, it says the lot of Gulf Beach subdivision, according to a plat of said subdivision, reported at page number 52 in plat book 4 of the public records in the office of the clerk of the circuit court for Escambia County, state of Florida, the southerly 75 feet of said lot being subject to a perpetual easement for a beach for public use generally. So it looks like Perdido Key has the same basic kind of beach access that Santa Rosa Island, Pensacola Beach has, which is public. 75, not that your property goes down to the mean high water line and nobody can encroach north of that, but even though you do own the property, okay, this doesn't change ownership of the beach, but there's an easement laying on top of the beach that allows people to walk across it 75 feet north of the water, which is a lot. I mean, that's significant compared to what used to be. You could only walk on the basically the wet portions of the sand. So we're still trying to find out, you know, more about this. This is an old record. I mean, this is from 60 years ago. Trying to figure out, is there anything that changed between then and now? But based on the people that I've talked to and based on kind of looking at the statutes, it seems like it is what it seems like it is, right? It seems like this is clear. But, you know, lawyers are probably going to have a look at this. Judges are probably going to have a look at this. The county is still trying to figure out, as Wes Moreno said last hour, that they're trying to make sure that they have, you know, a good solid footing, because they don't want to go in there and tell people to take down your no trespassing signs. People can walk here until they're pretty sure that that's the truth of it. It still won't change getting from, like, Perdido Key Drive over to the sand, right? That's still going to be challenging based on the limited places where you can access it. But if this does hold up, it'll mean that you can walk across the sand. You can bring your boats up to the sand to the degree that that's allowed, like anywhere else. So, you know, big changes for Perdido Key, obviously. 437-1620, 437-1620. And, you know, a lot of folks have said, and Commissioner Ragosh is fond of saying this as well, that back in the day, you know, he used to walk that area with his dad and go fishing there, and then all of a sudden it was said to be private property. And, you know, what made that change? And, you know, why was that idea, where did that come from? Is that just like a lie that people made up and then nobody challenged him on it? So after a decade or two, nobody even thought that it was worth challenging?
Each and every deed, one by one from 1957, and it's crystal clear, an easement for the public use in perpetuity. Perpetuity. So I'm going to have a lot of questions about how the withholding of this has been perpetrated on the people of Escambia County and the visitors, and how has it been perpetuated? Those are questions I'm going to have initially.
I think those are fair questions. Meanwhile, Charles Krupnik, who is the Perdido Key Homeowners Association president, I think, if I got his title wrong, I apologize. I've heard him speak at county commission meetings and whatnot. He says,
but with regard to the 75-foot public access, you know, there's been decades of real estate turnovers, legal searches, and title discussions. Property owners need to have an opportunity to make sure that they can rebut or at least discuss this particular issue before changes made.
Yeah, right now it's, well, this is what it seems like, but, you know, obviously there's going to be some people who have a pretty significant interest in how this all shakes out. And there is a provision in state statute 712 that talks about, you know, the marketability of record title, the suspension of the applicability, you know, how long far back are you obligated to account for things that you may not have discovered in a title search. And one of the parts of that, I'm not a lawyer, I'm just reading from it myself, it looks like easements would persist regardless of the other stuff, and that because of the way this is phrased in the federal grant, that it seems like this would persist. But again, you know, time will tell. Don't jump the gun just yet, and certainly I wouldn't go wandering around there yet, as Wes Moreno also said, don't go wandering around there yet, okay? 716 News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Lots going on this morning. Certainly be careful. As you know, we are not under a tornado watch. There's a tornado watch in effect for Okaloosa County. That's until 1, but some heavy rain, some heavy wind through the area this morning. Light issue. This is in Molino at the Tom Thumb at the Atmore cutoff. Standing water outside lane of Fairfield by Mission Street. Tree limb blocking the right lane on Barrancas. That's heading east between Outcast Bait and Tackle in the bridge. Main Street's closed. You can't turn onto Main Street from Barrancas. And certainly if any of this has changed, if you're in that area, let us know. Heavy wind gusts this morning. Be careful if you're driving over bridges. And then a few other accidents to certainly watch out for. Gulf Beach Highway and Ethel Wingate Drive. It looks like it may have been moved off to the side. Watch for emergency vehicles. I-110, exit 4 at Fairfield. A vehicle crash not showing a roadblock and possible roadblock. Crash in the area. Drive with caution in Milton. This is Denver Street and Montecito Boulevard. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. And yeah, the weather outside is a mess right now. It's like tropical storm weather, even though not everywhere. And you know how in a tropical storm what happens is some places are getting pounded and other places are like, man, the sun is shining here. I don't know what y'all are talking about, right? It's like that now. If you look at this on the wind map, there is basically, there's a stretch going from Mobile south by southeast out maybe, I don't know, 100 miles into the Gulf that is the, like, that's the no wind speed area, the eye of the whatever you want to call this. It's a long, narrow eye instead of a focused, tight eye. And then the winds are coming south out of Biloxi, moving east around that kind of long-ish elongated eye, and then going around towards Fort Walton Beach and Pensacola and cycling back counterclockwise. Wind speed average right now at the beaches is in the 25-mile-an-hour range. Northland, it's more like 20. But if you look at the gust map, we're talking upwards of 40 miles an hour. It's gusting right now all over the listening area, except for that one little stretch over Mobile Bay. We're getting rain off and on. We got sunlight off and on. So I'm just saying it's a weird weather day. Be careful. Pay attention and, you know, just kind of act accordingly, which at the moment is just kind of pay attention and, you know, look out for stuff. 718 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody put on made a good comment about this whole beach access thing. If you read the documents that Commissioner Burgas shared yesterday, it says the southerly 75 feet of said lot being subject to a perpetual easement for a beach for public use generally. It doesn't mention the water line there, and so I had been thinking that 75 feet would be water line plus 75 into the land. It might be that if the deed goes, I'm making up numbers here, but, you know, the deed goes to 200 feet from the house, let's say, as just an example. Well, if the water line, because the beach is changing and has gone away over time and, you know, hasn't been replenished, if maybe it's entirely possible that the 75 feet worth is actually only 20 feet of sand based on where the shoreline is these days. I mean, way beyond my knowledge at the moment, but he's right that, you know, the way this is written, it may not turn out that 75 feet of beach is now public. So these are all, like I said, there's a lot of uncertainty around this topic, and I think my advice at the moment is just kind of let's wait and see, you know, what things shake out. But a lot of assumptions being made about the impact of this, and I'm kind of in the, well, you know, let's give it a minute and let's listen to some of the experts talk about what they think this actually means in practice for people who own property on Perdido Key or for people who might want to use what apparently is somewhat public property based on an easement out on Perdido Key. 720 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and of course also the questions about title companies and search records and, you know, how has it been marketed and have people been deceived? I mean, there's going to be a lot surrounding this topic in the coming weeks and probably years, quite frankly. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to remind you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's creation, and marvelous are His works. You bear the stamp known as the Imago Dei, as you are made in the image of God. So there's no sense in worrying about how tall or short you are. There's no sense in comparing your looks to the looks of someone else. God made you just as you are. The Bible says He covered you in your mother's womb. He formed you in her belly. Psalm 139:17 says that you are in God's thoughts. I'm telling you, He loves you very much. The exact way He made you provides you unique opportunities to live for His glory. So praise Him for His marvelous works.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pensacola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620.
I mean, I like you, and I want to spend the night with you.
Do you mean sleep over?
Well, yeah.
Okay. But I get to be on top.
You know, Big is one of those movies where it's like, it's adorable and it's lighthearted and it's all innocent and it's on top of the bunk beds, right?
Yeah.
Of course, then you think about how, I know, she was messing around with him and he was really 13, you know?
Right, I know.
So that's a bit of a,
I know.
I'm not sure about all this, really.
It didn't stop me when I was 20. I still went into F.A.O. Schwartz, but now it's like, oh. Yeah,
that's right. Also, can I be the guy, we were watching Big recently, and can I tell you know the scene where they're like,
on the piano.
Doing the piano tap?
Yeah, F.A.O. Schwartz.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like playing the chopsticks or whatever. You know, because this is where my brain is. My brain just picks up odd things. And my brain was like, you know, owning one of those keyboards seems like the cool thing that would be so much fun to do. Not really, because you can only ever basically play two keys at one time at most.
That's right.
And most of the time in piano, you're playing 6, 7, 10, you know, like the 10 fingers, right? So really boring music that you'd be able to play on that thing. Just to ruin your childhood dreams. 7:24 here on News Radio 90.
Person. I know. You're going to play Mary Had a Little Lamb
or
chopsticks?
A horrible That's person. Your thing. That's right. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A federal appeals court is blocking part of a Texas judge's decision suspending the approval of abortion medication mifepristone. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has granted the Justice Department's emergency request yesterday. That decision will put a hold on the decision from the judge to block the original approval of the medication. Indiana State Police say a man that opened fire on officers yesterday and barricaded himself in an apartment has died. That standoff started last night, and Indiana State Police spokesman says the gunman fired hundreds of rounds from a high-powered rifle at officers who shot back. 200 law enforcement officers responded. None of them were injured. And the second Justin going back to work today, Tennessee Democrat lawmaker Justin Pearson will be sworn back in before the Tennessee House goes into session. Pearson and Democrat Representative Justin Jones of Nashville were both expelled last Thursday.
I still think what's crazy about this story is that it was Nashville put Justin number one back in unanimously, and then Shelby County, which is Memphis, put Justin number two back in unanimously only because the Republicans didn't show up to the meeting. Dudes.
Did you guys see? They did it at the hotel where Martin Luther King died.
What's that?
That's right. He had a meeting there yesterday to announce.
Oh,
it.
Yeah.
So
all right.
That's cool.
They've done nothing but help the political careers of these two young men. That's 100% helped them.
You know
by
they're
going to
run
this.
For.
Yeah, that's right. Right. And David, thanks so much for the update. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And again, lots going on. A tree limb blocking the right lane on Barrancas. This is heading east between Outcast, Bait and Tackle, and the bridge. Standing water outside lane of Fairfield. And I imagine with the storms we've had, the areas that are prone to ponding water, like lots at 9th Avenue, be careful in those areas. Heavy wind gusts this morning, too. And we're still under a tornado watch for Okaloosa County. Now, that's until 1 p.m. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620 News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. In other news, I mentioned it briefly last hour, but NPR quit Twitter yesterday. They abandoned all of their Twitter platform. I guess they had like 30 or 40 of them, some crazy amount, which is, I guess, normal for a larger news organization because you have all these different kinds of. They haven't banned their individual reporters from using Twitter feeds, using Twitter accounts, but basically they said that because of the inaccurate description of them as being government influenced or whatever by, you know, when they change that designation at Twitter, because they get a very, very small slice of money that, in my opinion, doesn't have anything to do with how Twitter or how NPR covers news. I mean, NPR leans left. OK, it's not because they get government funding. It's just because they lean left. Right. So, you know, the issue about how, you know, they're biased or whatever. I mean, they do good reporting as long as you understand that they lean so heavily to the left. And you know,
which is ironic because they make more than anybody pretty much in radio.
Yeah.
Which is
there's
bizarre.
A lot of,
yeah.
It's funny. They get government funding, but there's a lot of money running around there. Anyway, the point is that they have now pulled out entirely because they don't want it to kind of besmirch their reputation as journalists to have this sort of mark against them. They've got a 2-week grace period. So staff who run the Twitter accounts, can you imagine, you know, yesterday you had a good job at NPR running the Twitter accounts. Today, what do I do again? You know, that's a problem. Basically, their head operator said, it would be a disservice to the serious work you do here to continue to share it on a platform that is associating the Federal Charter for Public Media with an abandoning of editorial independence or standards. And just as an interesting note on this, at the very bottom of the article that they put out yesterday, they have a disclosure about their rules on reporting on NPR, you know, like, you know, they have rules in place to make sure that there's no bias or, you know, intrusion from corporate, so to speak, on it, which I respect. That's all good stuff. OK, that is all good stuff. Like I said, NPR generally does very good work. They just lean heavily to the left. OK, 728 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Major league teams. You know, we've been talking about how the rules changes, particularly with the pitch clock, shortening the times at bat, the inability to disengage from the mound rubber because you can only throw over so many times before somebody gets a base. I mean, there's all kinds of rules to shorten the game, which have made the game about a half hour shorter so far. It's also raised batting averages significantly. I mean, significantly. So more offense as expected, more stolen bases as expected, and shorter games. This is creating a problem. The problem of shorter games is, where do sports organizations make their money? Where do sports organizations make their money? Where does Major League Baseball make its money?
Commercials and concessions.
That's right. Tickets to a degree, but advertising revenue, tickets, and
food.
Hot dogs and beer. Well, there's a rule in baseball, sort of an unofficial rule because each stadium does it their own way, that you don't sell beer after the seventh inning. Right, you stop.
Right, that's right.
In order to let people finish so they don't linger around, and also to kind of give them maybe a sobering up period before they might get to their car. I mean, these are all kinds of generally the factors. The problem of shorter games is less concessions sold. So they're now extending the time during which you can sell beer at some of these stadiums, pushing it out into the eighth inning. The Arizona Diamondbacks, Texas Rangers, Minnesota Twins, and Milwaukee Brewers have all now extended alcohol sales through the eighth inning this season, which would be about another 20 to 30 minutes or something like that, in order to, you know, just make sure we get our beer money. So I just thought that's fascinating byproduct of how you make the product a little bit more consumer friendly by making it shorter winds up affecting the bottom line because they're there for less time, which means less concessions consumed. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden meeting with his Irish counterpart Michael Higgins today. He didn't respond to this question.
Do you have an update on the investigation?
The president signed a book at their version of the White House and just planted a tree. A man who claims his friend posted the secret intel from the Pentagon online is talking to the Washington Post about the leak.
He is not interested in helping any foreign agencies with their attack on the U.S. or other countries.
He also said his friend worked at a military base and has been sharing the highly classified documents with a group of friends online since the pandemic, and there's been no confirmation from the Department of Defense to that report. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. It's News Radio 92.3 right now. It is 69 degrees, cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Looks like the rain has slowed down considerably here in town, but ThreatNet radar still showing some rain in northern Escambia, northern Santa Rosa County. Also still have that tornado watch that's going to be in effect in Okaloosa County until later on this afternoon. We'll be following all that throughout the day, and we'll get more of an update with Channel 3 in just a few minutes. The Alabama State Trooper that was injured last Sunday in Escambia County, Alabama, during a shootout, now back home with his family. That today from the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. They're asking everybody to keep Corporal Jeremy Alford in their thoughts and prayers. Alford was shot during an exchange of gunfire with several suspects in a car that led him on a chase along I-65 last Sunday. That chase ended in Escambia County, Alabama. One suspect was killed, two others were hurt. ALEA still investigating. They did the sheriff's office a favor. Well, that from Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons on three local grocery store employees that thwarted a would-be robber this week.
It's kind of a good deal for us because we had been looking for this guy.
Sheriff Simmons says he can't criticize those employees because he says that's something he would have done himself. The attempted robbery happened on Tuesday at the grocery outlet on Brent Lane. Employees say right before closing time, a man said he wanted to come in and get one quick item before they closed. Once that man was inside, the employees say the man lunged at the money bags and then tried to run out of the store. Three men then stopped the suspect, identified now as 47-year-old Michael Bryant. Deputies say he was wanted for five other robberies around the area as well. A 21-year-old Pensacola man will be spending the rest of his life in prison in connection to a deadly shooting about a year and a half ago.
The state attorney's office says Nicholas Wells was found guilty yesterday in the death of Marcus Atienza, who was fatally shot while sitting in his car on Rawls Avenue back in November of 2021. Wells was sentenced immediately after an Escambia County grand jury found him guilty. Investigators at the time said the incident was a drug deal gone wrong. Prosecutors say both Wells and 24-year-old Ellis Clark were seen running away from the scene and entering a getaway car. Clark's trial is scheduled to start on June 28th.
And that's News Radio's Joe Ford. Well, this heavy rain being blamed for flight disruptions across South Florida. Flooding reported yesterday in Fort Lauderdale. The Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport had to close after 20 inches of rain fell in only 6 hours yesterday. That meant lots of flights were canceled. Fort Lauderdale airport officials expecting it to be closed until at least noon today. And there is at least one flight arrival here in Pensacola that's been affected by that. Santa Rosa County School District officials say they had to pull several cases of chocolate milk after students reported getting slimy milk at lunch. That happened on Tuesday at Avalon Middle School.
Going forward, obviously, my hope is that we get some responses back from the vendor today in regards to if that was a, as you said, bad batch or if it's a production issue. And then we'll take action according to what those results are.
And that's District Food Services Director Leslie Bell. She tells Channel 3 that 10 cases of chocolate milk were pulled from distribution lines. Those cases all had a date of April 17th. As of yesterday, all the cartons with that date had been sent back to the supplier. 7:35 at News Radio, and Candy's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Very slow, 29 southbound. This is north of Nine Mile Road. I'm not showing an accident. That doesn't mean there's not one, but just certainly be careful, as you know. Airport Boulevard in Pensacola, it looks like off 29, showing a hit-and-run crash. Accident in Molino at the Atmore Cutoff in 29. It looks like that they're having a light issue. I should say that light at the Tom Thumb is either blinking or out, so caution there. And 29, this is in McDavid, just south of Milstead Road. The roadway is blocked. Again, that's Highway 29 in McDavid, just south of Milstead Road. That roadway is blocked, and I'm not sure if it's northbound or southbound after an accident this morning. Caution wherever you are, as you know. Tree limb blocking the right lane on Barrancas, heading east between Outcast Bait and Tackle and the bridge, and still some heavy wind gusts in the area. Okaloosa County still under that tornado watch, and if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing plenty of rain throughout the entire day today. 60% chance of heavy showers and thunderstorms, high near 73 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Friday, small chance of rain in the very early morning hours, but then sunshine returns by the afternoon, high near 77. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Weekend forecast does come with a few very light showers, 30% chance of rain on Saturday with a high near 76. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. And looking at the ThreatNet radar right now, a lot of the rainstorms have pushed up into the northern portion of Escambia County, northern Santa Rosa County as well. The worst of it appears to be kind of up around Mobile. Right now, we've got cloudy skies. It is 69 degrees in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 67 in Milton. Again, that tornado watch in effect until later on this afternoon in Okaloosa County. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Warner Brothers Discovery says it will launch on May 23rd. Its long-awaited new streaming service named Max, which combines HBO Max's scripted entertainment with Discovery's reality shows. Prices for Max will range from $10 a month for the ad-supported version to $20 a month for Max Ultimate, the ad-free tier that allows four concurrent streams. The new service will serve as a test of CEO David Zaslav's ambition to create a leading streaming service by assembling a collection of disparate assets. E-cigarette maker Juul Labs has agreed to pay $462 million to settle claims by six states, including New York and California, that had unlawfully marketed its addictive products to minors. With the deal, Juul will have settled with 45 states for more than $1 billion. The company did not admit wrongdoing in the settlement. Under pressure from regulators, Juul in 2019 pulled most of its flavors from the market and halted advertising. That's Your Money Now.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at VFW.org.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
A man wanted on 5 warrants for robbery is now behind bars. Escambia County deputies were called to the grocery outlet on Brent Lane for a robbery in progress. But when deputies got there, they found the suspect was already detained.
What happened on Tuesday night went a bit beyond what's in the employee handbook after a man walked into the store right before closing time.
All right, so boom, here's what happened was I let the man in the door. He said he wanted one item, right? You know what I'm saying? Being a good person I am, I let him come in.
I think that's awesome. Anthony Mobley, being the good person that I am. This is my grocery store, man. I go to this grocery store all the time. It's actually my number 3 grocery store, but the grocery outlet of Brent and Palafox, and I know most of these guys, and I don't know Anthony. I knew Daryl, but they talked about how they took this guy down. He comes in, tries to steal the money, and they're like, oh, no, sir.
We walked past. He went towards the money.
He had grabbed the money before he tried to take it, and I ran and tackled him on the ground, knocked down everything.
And I grabbed his neck, and then I was just pulling him off the safe and then away from the money.
And then they're all sitting on him like a trophy when the deputies arrive. I mean, good job, you know? Well done. Just kind of a good news story. All turned out well. That's obviously the good news. It could have turned out otherwise. That's the problem. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
All's well that ends well, but from a law enforcement perspective, I know Chip Simmons said, look, that's what I would have done. I'm not going to fault anybody for doing it that way. It's not within the city limits of Pensacola, obviously, but your advice or guidance to employees who see stuff like this happening, or citizens?
Well, that's a decision that they have to make. Every situation is different, and you have to look at yourself, your physical condition compared to that of the perpetrator, and it's a decision you have to make on your own. And that's what you're usually going to hear from law enforcement anyway. You just have to assess the risk. And fortunately, what happened at the grocery outlet, everything turned out well, and kudos to those guys.
Hey, just, you know, because we talk a lot, you and I talk with Sheriff Simmons and Shane Tucker and all this about, you know, guns a lot. Imagine that I'm a patron, which I am frequently a patron at that grocery outlet. And let's imagine I'm carrying, which I am frequently because I do. I see a guy go for the money. Okay. He's not threatening my physical safety. He's not threatening anybody else's physical safety, but he is engaged in what looks to be a felony. What am I allowed to do aside from tackle him, if even that?
You need to use that weapon to protect yourself or others from serious bodily injury. And somebody taking money is not that. Leave that up to law enforcement. That could get really bad really quick.
All right, so the impulse to pull out a gun and say, stop or I'll shoot, no, unless we have reasonable belief that somebody's life, limb, body is in jeopardy at that moment, right?
Yeah, or, you know, if you're a property owner, it's your home, you're protecting your property, your vehicle, those are things to also consider. So, again, every situation is different, and these things you have to think about them and make a decision very quickly in each and every one of them.
Right. I just know how, you know, I know how people think, and somebody's going to be like, man, I'll tell you what I would have done if I'd have been there. You know, I'm like, that can become a crime. Be careful. That's why I wanted to ask you about it. It seems like it's been, you know, and I know y'all hate this word, but quiet in the city of Pensacola this week. Is that right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to use that word anymore. If Chuck Mallett is listening, I'm sure to get a phone call from him, even though he's retired. So I like to use the word uneventful.
Okay. All right. I will take uneventful. There has been some interesting things I wanted to ask you about. One is you shared a really cool video of the LED lights being tested on Three Mile Bridge, the kind of rainbow colors. I think when Pensacon happens, we need to put a big sign up at the welcome area that says, "Welcome to Asgard," because we have the rainbow bridge connecting us. I love that. Anyway, but people, because, you know, people are saying, well, I don't know. I think that light's going to be distracting to me as a driver. Mike, can you maybe explain to them the physics of how those lights cannot be seen from the roadbed surface?
Well, two things you just said. The person says to themselves, I don't know, which is accurate. They don't. And testing is going on. So those are two words you need to remember here. So that's why they're doing it in the middle of the night. These mm-hmm. lights are beautiful. This is going to be a great landmark for Pensacola, something for all of us to be very proud of. But they are, you know, these lights are not going to be bright. They're dimmable. They're going through a testing phase. And when you're on the bridge, you just simply can't see them until you get up to the arch. And maybe the arch is one color or another color, but it's nothing that's blinding you in the face, or anything like that. So, for those that believe the lights on the bridge are going to be distracting, you know, they'll dim them down and they're going to be just fine. It's going to be a beautiful bridge when they're done with it.
Yeah, it's going to be the most vivid from I-110 on coming over the hump or maybe on Bayfront. You know, for everybody who's on the bridge, you're going to be like, man, I don't get what all the trouble's all about. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer from PPD. I actually had a story I definitely wanted to ask you about, so hang on for just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Somebody texted in with all the wind. Don't forget, we still have barges.
Oh.
Sorry, Mike. Sorry, Andrew.
And by the way, gusting at 40, by the way, in the bay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just asked Chip Simmons if there was any road closures, bridge closures, because mm-hmm. we're kind of right in that vicinity
sure.
for, like, Bob Sykes or Perdido Key Britain. But no. As of now, the answer is no. Sorry, Candy. Go ahead.
Tornado watch still in effect for Okaloosa County. Still showing a light issue in Molino at the Tom Thumb at the Atmore Cutoff. Standing water, and there's a lot of areas in Pensacola that are prone to standing water after a heavy storm, so I would certainly watch for those areas. I'm getting reports tree limbs still blocking the right lane on Barrancas. Main Street's closed. Can't turn onto Main from Barrancas. A heavy wind gust this morning, as Andrew mentioned earlier. Be very careful driving over the bridges. And showing anything else right now. Still backed up 29 southbound. This is north of 9 Mile, and it looks like there may have been an accident on the other side of the interstate. Caution there, and wherever you are, 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah, Mike, I meant to ask you, Mike Wood, Public Information Officer, do you know what's going on at Barrancas with the closures over there?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So the story that I wanted to ask you about was it came out of California, where a woman was driving by a protest and she wanted to express her solidarity for the protesters. So she honked her horn at them 14 times in short bursts, right? Beep, 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 whatever. She got pulled over by a San Diego County Sheriff's deputy, gave her a ticket and cited her for misusing her horn that came about as a result of a 1913 law that says you're only allowed, as California, only allowed to use your horn for warning other drivers, and that held up in court. And there is no free speech violation there. That, you know, the lawsuit she brought on First Amendment and 14th Amendment grounds failed, and they said that, no, basically the judge said in order for a horn to work, it's got to be not used indiscriminately. It can only be used for this and not for that. So my question to you is, in the state of Florida, what is the law regarding the use of your horn in a car?
Well, it sounds to me like it's just like California. You only use that horn to warn people of a hazard or impending danger. And but, you know, it's one of those laws that we have on the books that you would really have to abuse it in order to get a ticket. I mean, I was behind a vehicle on Main Street one afternoon or one morning, and a guy was cut off by a young lady driving in front of him, and he just laid on the horn, just laid on it and would not get off of it. And when I got him stopped, he said he was upset with her. So that's a clear misuse of the horn. But if somebody beeps it to tell you to kind of go and pay attention, put the phone down because the light's green, it's time to go. Or they beep to wave at you. You know, that's something that we're just not going to write a ticket for. But then you've got these trucks that have horns on them that are just like those on a train,
yeah.
Which are not legal. So if you abuse those things, then you can get a ticket in Florida for that.
Interesting. So what I hear you saying is, for example, the chirp at somebody to go at the light, technically not legal. You know, honking at somebody because instead of giving them a particular digit, also not legal. Punishing somebody after the fact for interfering with you when they're not currently threatening you. not legal, only to get attention to make people aware that there's a problem or a danger about to happen. That's the only place where you're really safe honking your horn. Do I have it right, technically?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. It's just like the sirens on emergency vehicles. We can't just go and turn them on, you know, as we're driving down Palafox to wave at one of our friends. It's going to get everybody's attention. It's going to get people's eyes off of the road, and just like it would if somebody was laying on the horn, and it could cause issues. And that's why it's illegal to do that.
All right. Well, great. My uses of the horn are often not legal. So we might have to reform my behavior a little bit. I feel you, Andrew. We always like to end on a myth of some kind, a cop myth or a cop question or anything like that. You have one for me this week?
Yeah, last week I talked about the crimes that are very difficult for investigators to solve. And this week it's the ones that are a bit easier. And those tend to be persons crimes. And when you consider the clearances of violent crime, 61.6%, and these figures come from the UCR, the Uniform Crime Report nationwide, 61.6% of murder offenses, 53.3% of aggravated assault offenses, 34% of rape offenses, and 29.7% of robbery offenses were cleared. And a lot of reasons for that, Andrew, is because there are witnesses, the victim knows the perpetrator, and issues like that, because simply you have people involved. So those tend to be a little bit easier to solve than property crimes.
That makes perfect sense. Can I give a PSA, and you can just amen me if I get this right? One of the challenges of solving interpersonal crime is when the person is a stranger, and in the stressful events of being a victim, you're not paying enough attention to how they look, what they're wearing, or any of that to be able to identify them later. If you have any advice for victims in those circumstances, it's just pay attention to pay attention so that you can be able to identify the person later. Am I on track with that?
Well, yeah, I got to give that one an amen. But people are different. People handle stressful situations differently. And even police officers, after a traumatic event, they sometimes don't right off the bat remember exactly what happened, but give them a day and things begin to come back. So, everybody handles things differently in very stressful situations. So we try our best to get information from them, but sometimes we get it days later.
Yeah, that tunnel vision is super common. I've just been surprised at incidents that I've been involved in. We're like, yeah, I just don't remember. Didn't notice. And, you know, trying to be better about that. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thanks for the time and the information and the great videos this week. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
751 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Again, very, very windy, gusting up into the 40s in some areas of the southern portion of our listening area, Perdido and Pensacola Beach. Be careful if you're driving trucks going across the Escambia Bay Bridge. That's going to be the next area where the high wind speeds start to hit. No bridge closures at the moment, but we are in what is like a light tropical storm conditions right now. So please be careful when you're driving around. If you're thinking about selling your home, you want to get a good agent. You want to get a good agent who's going to get you the right price, whether buying or selling, and is going to make sure that the job gets done. Look, I was talking to Christina Leavenworth the other day, and she made me aware that there are 3,000 listing agents right now in the area, 3,000 realtors. 1,600 of them haven't sold a single home this year. Now, that's normal because most realtors only sell one or two, maybe, homes in the entire year, as opposed to some, like there are 20 on this list of 3,000 that have sold more than 20 in the first quarter. 7 have sold more than 30. Christina's had 36 she sold and 29 more under contract. So when you're thinking about which realtor you want to handle your transaction, you want to ask yourself, well, do I want somebody who sells one or two homes a year? Or do I want somebody who sells 200 plus homes a year and knows how to get this done under all these circumstances? And then, you know, you make decisions based on that. Just be sure to include Christina Leavenworth in your list of realtors that you talk to. 723-9158, 723-9158.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Join Whitney Lucas and Sheriff Chip Simmons on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, an event at Five Flags Speedway. All the proceeds from this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Don't miss Whitney and Sheriff Chip Simmons tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
Is your house making you sick? If you have high indoor humidity levels due to excess moisture, it could be. High humidity levels cause mold, mildew, and bacterial growth, among other things, and are very hazardous to your health. If you have condensation on your vents or windows, blistering paint, or cupping hardwood floors, it's time to call Southern Climate Solutions. They'll customize a permanent solution to control your indoor environment, eliminating the hazards of high humidity and excess moisture. Find them online at southernclimatesolutions.com.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig.
I had never seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I couldn't believe it. I'd seen Fistful of Dollars and for a few dollars more, but I hadn't seen, and I just watched
it
the other day.
Have you seen it? Yeah.
Oh, my God. And I saw the epic, like, with all the reinserted scenes and everything that were cut out of the original.
Oh,
it's
I haven't
amazing.
Seen that. Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. And it's really much more about the Civil War than it is about being a Western. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of a pretext to show the Civil War. It's a very fascinating movie. Candy's got Traffic on the Fives.
This is brought to you by David's Catfish House. Garden View Road and Tunnel Road in Milton showing an accident with no roadblock this morning. Fairfield and Jackson in Pensacola showing an accident with no roadblock this morning. East Bay Boulevard, Blackjack Circle in Navarre showing an accident, no roadblock there. I'm still showing a light issue in Molino at Highway 29 at the Atmore cutoff. And be careful. Certainly watch for standing water. We're going to report the standing water outside Lane of Fairfield by Mission Street. And certainly there are areas prone to flooding after heavy rain. And we had heavy rain this morning. Some heavy wind gusts still, too. Be very careful if you're driving over bridges, although they're not shut or anything. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. And, yeah, to reiterate, I did check with Sheriff Simmons to see if any of the bridges were closed. And the answer is not yet. He had just called the dispatchers to see if that was the case, even though there's, you know, strong winds with higher gusts. We're not at that level of concern for any of the bridges in the area, at least at the moment. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The National Rifle Association is holding its annual convention in Indianapolis this week for the first time in the past 10 years. The former vice president and one-time Indiana Governor Mike Pence will be speaking, as will former President Donald Trump. Speaking of former President Trump, he's in New York today for another deposition in the civil fraud case brought by Attorney General Letitia James. She filed a $250 million lawsuit against Trump and his company for allegedly misleading banks by misstating the value of his properties. And there's a country music star that's in Ukraine today. Brad Paisley traveled to Kyiv yesterday. He met Volodymyr Zelensky when he got there. And he also did a performance for American troops that are stationed in Poland as part of a congressional delegation.
Nice. That's fantastic. Well done. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, we've been talking all morning about this issue with the beaches, and it's really going to be, as somebody actually just texted me a picture of a can that had the top open and inside was a bunch of worms. Like, all this does is open a can of worms, which it's true, okay? You know, I'm sure that you've got lawyers are going to get involved in this, judge is going to get involved in this. There's going to be some wrangling okay? But the way it looks at the moment, in case you hadn't caught the story yet, it looks like the sandy beaches on Perdido Key have a 75-foot area on the southern end of their property that is public use easement on top of the property. So open beaches, but don't go there yet. Don't go there yet. We're waiting to be sure. The county and everybody else kind of working on this to find out what the truth
Listen
is.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
We continue to watch the weather today. Also, more on the three grocery store employees that thwarted a would-be robber. Those stories and more after this update from Fox News here on News Radio 92.3.